Welcome to Social Geek Radio. Here are your hosts, Deb Evans and Jack Munson.
Hi, good evening, everyone. This is Social Geek Radio. Jack Munson from Kigo joining you from the Social Geek Radio North studio today. My co-host, Deb Evans, is live on location at one of our favorite places on Earth. It's Pino's Palette. What's going on there, Deb?
Hey, Jack. I'm so sorry you're not here today because I'm sitting at Pino's Palette, new corporate office, taking some Snapchats of everybody sitting here. And we've got wine and, you're not here, but we are. We miss you, though.
Yeah, have one for me, right? So tonight we wanted to chat with the team from Pino's Palette, mostly about their recent rebranding. So, Deb, why don't you introduce everyone in the room there with you, and then we can jump into a little chat about rebranding.
I will. So I'm going to introduce them individually, but I do have Craig with me and Natalie and Jacqueline. So Craig, we're going to start with you to go ahead and say hello, introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about Pino's, and then we're going to work our way around the room.
Sure. Craig here. I am the co-founder and CEO of Pino's Palette.
And I'm Natalie Wells, the creative director.
Hi, I'm Jacqueline Davenport, marketing director.
Very good. So, Jack, the offices and the audience, the offices here at Pino's Palette, they've got so much pop, so much color that it's, and even the rug I'm looking at, I kind of wish this was visual, has got all the colors of the walls. But what they've done recently is rebranded your whole brand, you know, your from the logo to, where do you start? I mean, how do you start a whole mission like that of rebranding?
A lot of things have been changing with us at Pino's Palette headquarters. And we call ourselves headquarters, not corporate, because it sounds too corporate. We like to have fun here. We've had a lot of exciting changes. And one of the things is we just moved offices in the building. We've doubled the space, and we've been able to kind of rethink some of the fun meeting spaces to be a little less corporate feeling, yeah, a little bit more fun of environment. And the brand has come along with that. We've been working on this project for, I'd say, almost a year, year and a half, thinking about at least starting with the research of what customers want and taking, you know, the whole marketing attitude of where we want to go and what our customers want, what we want to be. Are we meeting the original philosophy of what the brand was about when we started? And that's a multi-team, multi-year exercise to do it well.
Cool. So, Natalie, what's your role?
Craig, that's such a Craig, quick question on that. It's such a big task of saying, okay, we're going to rebrand. So many brands that we've seen probably should have rebranded a long time ago, but it's just too hard, and it just takes too much money and too much time. Was there any specific thing that made you say, yeah, let's go ahead and do this. We need to do it for the brand, and we need to do it for the customers. Was there any sort of tipping point to making you go forward with the rebranding?
Yeah, I think one trap that many brands fall into, especially in the franchise space, is some pivotal point comes up, like Google wants you to be more mobile optimized and you need a new website, and all of a sudden you start saying, well, maybe it's time to update the curtains a little bit with some different colors, and you fall into a rebranding project, and you can get into a lot of trouble that way. So we really wanted to be very mindful and thoughtful of it. Pino's Palette headquarters is just a place where, and this is a blessing and a curse, we're all very analytical, and we don't do things average very well here, which is good and bad sometimes, because we really want to understand the why and the strategy behind it before we just start painting the walls different colors. So I think it's been a long and exhaustive process for us, but the franchisees, I think, appreciate that research and extra effort that's put into it, so that they know that the direction, the ultimate direction that we're taking the brand for the consumers, is in the right direction.
Cool.
Excellent.
Why don't one of the ladies tell us a little bit about Pino's Palette and how long the brand has been around? Because I think that's a good point of saying, do you rebrand what, year one, year 10, year 15? So
Sure. So Pinot's Palette started in 2009. Craig Sacanti, Charles Willis, and Beth Willis founded the company, and it was just a single studio here in Houston in the Montrose area. And the name of the company was originally Pinot and Picasso, and when they started franchising, the name for legal purposes and trademark purposes was changed to Pinot's Palette. And at that time, the co-founders, Craig and Charles, actually created the logo that the original logo of Pinot's Palette. And that was something that had carried the brand through and created an image in the mind of our consumers. But as the brand started to grow and we started to add more locations, that logo and the brand name was adapted to many different things like fascia signs and marketing materials and items for the customers. And so as that brand kind of grew and changed and the application of it became wider, we found that, you know, there was a need for our customers to have a more simple view of, you know, what Pinot's Palette is and that name for it to be easy for them to read and easy for them to associate with. So that's when we started to research our brand name and our logo to learn more about, you know, what our customers are going to like to see. And so Natalie actually worked really hard on kind of digging into the different color schemes and the different looks and feels of what Pinot's Palette could be.
So I just want to throw in there, you know, the backup to the why question. So why even look at doing something like this? Brand changes are not easy. Mm-hmm. They're very expensive in time and money. You have to get your franchise system on board. Your customers may get confused. So they're not a slam dunk by any means. And back to where we started, the logo that Charles created, you know, hey, Charles, create us a logo. Here's Photoshop. Go learn it. And he was able to do that in a weekend. That's a logo that a lot of our competition are creating as well. And we saw that in the marketplaces. All our competition was throw some paint splashes on there, throw some clip art on there, and all of a sudden you're a paint and sip industry. Mm-hmm. And we pride ourselves in being the absolute premier in the space, and we want to look different and feel different. Part of that is having a cohesive design that looks clean and sharp. And helps us stand away from that sea of sameness, is what we've called this. And it's kind of the sea of splattered paint that's become our industry. So we wanted a cleaner design.
So I'm going to ask you, Natalie, how long ago was it that you guys decided that you wanted to rebrand? And then what was the process like from the big idea?
You know, I wouldn't say it started out as a big decision. I think it was a conversation that we had for a really long time before we decided to pull the trigger on anything. And there was a lot of discussion about, you know, what could we do? What kind of updating would we need? There was a lot of exploration and a lot of research before. It wasn't just this one meeting where we all decided, hey, let's recreate the brand. But the whole process started about a year and a half ago. And we just started kind of looking at what the brand means to us, what the brand means to our customer. We surveyed our customers. We asked them what they were needing and what they were wanting and what they were responding to from us. And we really learned so much that at that point, we couldn't turn back. It was like, okay, we've got to do this. We really dug into what our customers were going to respond to. And that's kind of how the journey started. And it was just a really long, you know, year and a half process to get to where we are now.
I think one exercise we did that was a lot of fun for the team, and I recommend it for any brand to do, is we printed out every piece of collateral and asset that we had created, and plus gathered everything that our franchisees had created. Naturally, they're trying to create things too for a brand that's, you know, 5-6 years old. Mm-hmm. At the point when we started this project, and we printed it all out and hung it up on one wall. It covered, I'd say, about 30 feet of wall, and it looked like wallpaper, and it was very noisy and confusing. We printed out competitors' ads, put them up there too, and actually had people go into the room for 2 minutes to see if they could find the competition. And that was an interesting exercise, just to see from a customer's eyes, you've got 60 seconds to impress someone or stand out what a customer sees and send people into that room, whether they work for us or not, and see if they can come out identifying who we are or who the competitors are. It was eye-opening for us to see it all together.
I think what really started it too is that with Pinot's Palette Upper, and this is Jacqueline speaking, with Pinot's Palette, the experience that our customers have in the studio is second to none. I mean, we pull out all the stops. It's part of our mission statement to fulfill that customer service and make sure that everyone who attends a Pinot's Palette studio has a great time in the studio and leaves happy with the memory and with their painting. But what we found too, as part of this project of printing out all of our ads and putting it up on the wall, was that, you know, what we were showing visually to our customers as kind of that first touch point was not really a good representation of, you know, the value that we offered in our studios. So part of this was to develop a concept and a look and feel that was really going to emulate and set the customer's expectation that, you know, when they attend Pinot's Palette, just by seeing one of these ads, that they're going to have a wonderful time, they're going to have top-notch customer service, and they're going to leave with a masterpiece.
You got a lot of color and a lot of pop to the new logo, and even the visual, the digital that I saw the other day when I got my email. So that's the first thing I saw. It's like I got this email that had the story behind it and how, you know, it all just came together. It was like really, really cool. So at some point you had to reach out and get some other marketing folks in for the design, or was this all done in-house?
We used our in-house resources, I think, pretty wisely, but we worked with some really great people as well. We brought in Heckler Associates to do the logo. They've done Starbucks logo and Panera Bread and some other really big names. So they were a huge resource for us in that department. They really helped develop the concept of the, you know, the mosaic and the symbol of the logo that we have now. We also worked with some local firms, and we did outsource, you know, several pieces of the project, but we managed it pretty well in-house. Nice. So it was kind of a team effort.
Yeah, very nice. So Jack, before I ask any more questions, do you have anything out there?
Yeah, let's talk a bit about the digital version of all of this. What was more challenging, changing things in the studios, which obviously takes a lot more sort of physical work, was it that, or was it getting everything sort of lined up the right way on all of your social presences and websites and all of that kind of stuff? What was the harder task there?
I think from my perspective, we probably each have different perspectives on kind of the most complex part. I think as a franchise system, the toughest part is the communications plan, and it's one that it quickly gets left behind. You have to make sure it's that A, you're doing things for the right reasons so that you can explain the why and get adoption from all your owners that you hope to adopt this new brand. You know, we spent a lot of time speaking and working with our franchise council. We flew them in for a two-day kind of huddle session. We have 7 people on our council. And we put thoughts and decision points in front of them to help us not only determine some of the fine details, but also what the rollout plan and incentive program behind this is. I think that's, you know, obviously figuring out the brand as a co-founder, it's very tough to look at any logo that's not the one that's the original. But figuring out a communication plan, an incentive program, and a rollout plan that the franchisee will be excited about. Of course, you can force it down their throats. Most franchise systems have a contract that says, you must do this. But your mindful system, you don't want to be there. You want people to be excited. Like the video you saw, you want to get excited about that change and why you're doing it, and have some trust and understanding how your customers will react and ultimately hopefully drive more business and be able to impact more people through the exposure of Pinot's Palette. So to me, that's the hardest part. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I would definitely agree. As far as the in-studio versus the digital, I think anywhere in the digital space, it's so easy to replace an image if it's not quite exactly how you want it. It's easier to tweak things little by little when you're working with digital images. The studio space is pretty permanent, so it definitely provided a bigger challenge for us. We had a lot more discussion and thought over what color the walls are going to be, you know, specifically what shade of red the walls need to be, and, you know, what kind of graphics are going to go in the studio, because those are definitely more permanent and more expensive things to produce.
Yeah. And I'll add to that as well. This is Jacqueline. You know, this wasn't, we decided from the outset that we were going to make this a structured rollout for our system. So there's a couple ways that you can do a rebrand. With some companies, it's like a light switch, they'll flip overnight. But with us, we felt it was to the benefit of our franchisees to do more of a structured rollout. And this allows them and gives them time to kind of roll over with the brand, make a financial decision that's best for them and their studio and their situation. And so right now we have several studios that are flipping, as we call it. Our new studios that are opening have the new Pinot's Palette look. And then digitally, we have a plan for a rollout across our system online for later this year. So we chose a structured rollout, and it's something that, you know, is really going to help benefit our franchisees and also help keep people excited about what's to come with our brand.
So if somebody wanted to see this, the new digital logo and everything, is there a direction or someplace you can send them so that they can see it, other than receiving the newsletter like I did? It's like, this is really cool.
Sure. If you go to our blog at pinotspalette.com, you can see what the new video is for our logo. Also on our franchise website, pinotspalette.com/franchise, we have a webinar posted on our blog, as well as a press release that kind of outlines what is to come with Pinot's Palette.
Very good. Very good. Jack, anything else on
you
your
know,
end?
And yeah, I just want to jump in on what Jack was saying. I think what I'm hearing is have a solid plan for a structured rollout. You know, in franchising, you don't have the luxury of flipping the light switch and everything just to the new logo, because in essence, you're not really rebranding one brand. You're actually rebranding 100 brands or 160 brands or 300 brands when you're including all of the studios or in other franchise restaurants, whatever it might be. So I love what you're saying about the structured rollout and not expecting everything to turn on a dime, but, you know, having the expectations of when certain things are going to be done. You know, I'm looking on Facebook and some websites right now. I'm having a hard time finding your old logo. I think everything is chugging along pretty well.
Oh, good. And I, you know, going back to what Craig, what you were saying earlier about bringing the FAC in, you know, I think having your franchise advisory council in the discussion, and it sounds like you were very open about it. It wasn't like, let's just have them in here so they can give them the 2 cents and we'll send them home. I mean, you really do value, and I've seen you guys with your franchisees, you really do value their input, and there seems to be a real culture there that, you know, that's it's a team effort.
We ultimately want the best for their success. There's no other alternative motive here. So we value their opinion as elected leadership. And when these decisions need to be made, to me, their vote counts more than what we want. And that's exactly what we did. We asked them, hey, do we want to use all of these resources to flip everybody in a 3-month timeline, which could jeopardize some of our future advertising? Or do we want to make a more flexible rollout where people can invest in it if they think it's valuable, but it comes with incentives from headquarters to change. And that could mean, you know, our rollout was structured where they have to paint the location, but we take care of the signage. So there's some investment and skin in the game on their end, and it's not a completely free thing, but it's something that pretty much anybody can do in a weekend with a marginal cost. So that balance was struck because that was the advice from the council, and that's what we moved forward with And it definitely helps. They stood behind us when we rolled it out because it was a joint decision.
Right. Yeah, and the story that you guys tell with the logo, you don't see that very often. So, that whole storyline as the logo is being pieced together, and this is, the B, and it's like, it was just really, really, and that's, I think, franchising today. It's like telling the story. What's your story? You guys have told it. You told it within the logo and the voiceover behind it. So very cool. Nicely done.
Yeah. I think, and the other opportunity that we've had with this rollout is to communicate and talk to our customers about what is different with Pino's Palette. And that's where we started. We are different. We've set to be the premier. It's hard to tell when you look at the entire industry. So by making these changes, we're taking as many opportunities as we can to talk to the customers about what is different with us. Mm-hmm. And that's what it's really more about, is a kind of revitalization and recommunication to them about our commitment to them to be the absolute best paint and sip night out every time at every studio. It's a great opportunity for us to talk to our franchise owners and partners about this too. And recommit together to that initial philosophy that Charles, Beth, and I started out with, as well as to our customers. Hey, we're going to be the best. This is our promise to you. This new mosaic and logo is also part of that promise. So it can be more than just changing the look and feel.
Right.
It can be, hopefully, what's most meaningful is a change in experience and feeling and thought by the customers, the staff, the owners, and everybody at headquarters.
And every franchise brand is always concerned and always looking forward about new franchisees. My gut says that with all this news about the rebranding and the newness and the freshness, it's definitely going to bring some new franchisees to be aware of your brand that weren't before. I mean, it just seems like a natural progression that you're going to attract some new franchisees that are going to say, oh, I really like this brand.
Some of our thoughts or fears was that people would see this and be like, oh, they're changing and that's something I should be concerned about. I think some of the initial feedback we've got is that that's exciting. You're reinvesting.
That's right.
You're bringing this and it's not going to be stale and old.
Right.
Not that 7 years is a really long time by any means, but I think that's what we do.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
Yeah,
that
I absolutely. I think I can only imagine that it's going to attract people, that it's like, that new for sale sign goes out in the house. Like, oh, look, this is something new. Same thing with bringing some freshness to the brand. So, yeah, you guys are going to grow. I mean, you've grown a lot in the last couple of years. So good job. Well, Mr. Munson, I think we're going to log off here soon and tell everybody good night. You have anything else for our guests before we let them go?
I think that means you guys just opened a bottle of wine. So, I want to thank everybody for being on Social Geek Radio tonight. And if some of our listeners or maybe some people from some other brands are thinking about a rebranding and they'd like to to learn a little bit more or have some of the place where they can continue the conversation, maybe via LinkedIn or is there another place that that folks can reach you for some more?
Sure. You can reach us at franchise@pinospalette.com via email, or feel free to go to our website, pinospalette.com. We also have a Facebook page and LinkedIn pages as well. So any of those channels, we're ready and available.
We love to talk branding. So
excellent.
Please send questions. Share some lessons learned.
Very good. Well, thank you,
excellent.
Guys. Great.
Very good. Thanks, everybody, for being on Social Geek Radio tonight.
Thanks, Jack.
Good night, everybody.